Hey there, this is The Real Thing. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Each episode, we'll be searching for the real Australia, metaphorically mainly, but it's a coincidence today for our first episode, we've got an actual real search, a mystery that takes us on a hunt for the original Bronson.
If you're an Aussie kid in the 90s, early 2000s, tell me every word of this TV theme song is not engraved in the back of your mind.
Have you ever, ever felt like this? Have strange things happen? Are you going round the twist? Well, have you heard the word
about the bird? Now recap, because you might not have thought about Round the Twist for 20 years, which is fair enough. The show was about the Twist family. They lived in a lighthouse. The lighthouse had ghosts and lots of supernatural things happened, and the Twists were always getting into trouble with the Gribble family.
Ever felt like this?
It was an awesome show. Everyone loved it. But the weirdest thing about Round the Twist was it was this very uniquely Australian show that became huge internationally. Let me take you back. This is an RN archive from 1994.
And now even male circumcision is under the spotlight. Later today here on Radio Nash.
Sorry, let me just wrong cut. This is it.
I felt as if you were sort of undervaluing its success there. It has actually had a huge degree of success overseas.
This is director Esben Storm, who also happened to play Mr. Snapper. He's speaking here to Life Matters.
Perhaps tell us about it, and if I've undersold you, I apologise. What sales have you achieved?
Well, it's sold to something like 50 countries around the world. The last series was the top-rating kids show in England. English women rated it above Roseanne and programs like that.
There were four series, and because of the rate at which human children grow, they had to recast the kids. So there were three sets of Gribbles, three Pete and Lindas, they were the twins, and of course, three Bronsons.
Twist and shout!
Oh,
twist
Bronson.
And shout.
Fell. Bronson.
I can't help it! I'm busting!
Bronson was the youngest twist. Bronson, in a lot of ways, was the star of the show. And if you go online, you can read a lot about the actors who played Bronson from series 2 to 4. But if you look for information about the first Bronson, there's not much at all. No Facebook, no Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, nothing. Media interviews, none. The last thing he did was a couple of paragraphs for the Round the Twist website, which is still live, by the way, which was 15 years ago.
Yeah, I think so. I've just got a mic and a mixer in front of me. I can hear everything.
So what the hell happened to the original Bronson? Surely the world would be a better place if we knew the fate of the original Bronson. Now, when you dig a hole, you need to start with the topsoil first. So with that in mind, to find the original Bronson, I figured we'd need to start with the most recent and work our way back.
My name's Matthew John Waters. I'm from Sydney originally, and I am, how old am I, 27.
Bronson number 3.
Bronson will always be sort of close to my heart. It's probably one of my most favourite jobs I've worked on, really.
And Matt doesn't care that he's still talking about a role he played so long ago. He loved the show before he was even on it.
But it was like literally my favourite thing to do was come home after school and watch Round the Twist. It was just relatable, I guess, Australian life.
Matt was Bronson for series 3 and 4. So by the time he auditioned, the show had been kicking around a decade.
I couldn't believe it when I got the audition to go and, try and get the role as Bronson. Really exciting, really good. And I just thought, like, Bronson was awesome, you know, all the disgusting stuff that he used to get to do in his smelly shoes and, you know, trying to pee over a wall and all this. And I was like, you know, he literally was me as a kid, you know, without all of the actual creepy ghosts and stuff.
Bronson was the black sheep of the family. The youngest, he was naive, he was innocent.
It was hard not to find Bronson fun or funny or clumsy or whatever. Like, I don't know, he was easy to make fun of, that freckle-faced little ginger kid, which, yeah, rings true, man, I'm telling you.
Dad, something weird's happened to my...
One of the episodes that you were in that sticks out for me most is the one, I think, you may know which one I'm going to say, the whirling dervish.
Whirly Willy, man.
What, that is just so twisted.
That weird growing fish swimming around inside me. Whenever I get my you-know-what-not-wet, spin out.
The legendary Paul Jennings was the creative mastermind behind the concept. The first two seasons were based on his short stories, which were already tried and tested hits. The topics Paul covered broke new ground in storytelling for kids. Getting pregnant via tree spirits, magic underpants, possessed toy dolls, it was crazy. It's easy to see how certain episodes can stick in your memory.
Man, I did a television interview back to Good Morning Australia or Sunrise or something. And
pretty risque. I was just reading one about a propeller.
Yeah, so
That was all they were talking about was the Whirling Dervish thing and, like, you know, how it might have been a little bit risque for a kids' show.
Do you ever get recognised in London for your propeller work?
I do, actually, yes. They love my propeller here in London.
Matt's best memory from the show actually has nothing to do with acting. He describes it as one of the best experiences of his life. In a bizarre twist, probably worthy of a plotline for the show, the Queen of England paid a visit to the set of Round the Twist.
Before she had arrived, we were told not to touch her or anything like that. So I went not to shake her hand, and she said something along the lines of, "Oh, I'm the Queen, love. You can hold my hand," kind of thing. Like, if I say you can, you can.
So Matt grabs the Queen of England's hand,
and I just held it and walked around the set and, like, showed, "Oh, this is where we filmed this, and this is the bathroom in the lighthouse," and all this stuff. So, yeah, it was cool, man.
By the time Matt got to high school, of course, everyone had seen Round the Twist.
It was a massive thing. Like, I got there and people were like, "Holy shit, Bronson's at our school."
That'd be funny as. Imagine rocking up to biology and you're sitting next to Bronson. He remembers his first lunchtime. He sat down on the basketball court all by himself.
And I had a crowd of kids stood around me, man, watching me eat my food, like, just looking at me. Oh, did you really, like, have smelly feet? It was the weirdest thing, dude, honestly. Like, I swear, I was known at school as Bronson. I wasn't known at school as Matt.
After Round the Twist, the work kept flowing.
Opportunity after opportunity just kept coming, and it was silly to turn it down.
Eventually, he moved to London.
So I've been here 6 years. I just finished doing Goosebumps Alive on the West End. Seussical on the West End.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, did Tommy. And then I've shot a film over here. It's called Own Worst Enemy. As far as I'm concerned, this business is made for me to work in it, and wherever I have to work in it, I will do. It's all I know. It's what I've been doing for my entire life now. So,
but the further into his career he goes, the more Bronson seems to keep coming up.
Especially on social media and stuff. It's everywhere. And it's on Netflix again. You know, maybe people are just realizing life's short and remembering nice things like that. And when you were happy when you were a kid kind of makes you get through the struggles of the day, you know?
Okay, the original. His name is Rodney McLennan. We have no idea what state he's in, or if he's in Australia, or even if he's alive. So we approached investigative journalist and friend of the program, Tom Morton, to assist.
Hey, Tom. Just wondering if you got a second, mate. We're just looking for, trying to track someone down.
Listen, Mike, I'm busy. Just go and do your own f***ing investigation.
All right. Sorry, mate. Sorry, jeez.
Where are you, Rodney?
I'll find you, Rodney!
Hello, 1, 2, 3, pip, pip, pop, 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 pop. 1, 2, 3.
My name's Jeffrey Walker. I played Bronson in Round the Twist in 1991.
Bronson number two.
Nowadays, it's more like they'd have to be told and then they'd look at you and they'd go, "That's right, I know you, I remember you."
Jeffrey was on a Bucks night a few years ago and you can imagine.
You know, whatever foyer, lobby, casino we happen to be at, they would all pipe in and, you know, pipe up and start singing it. So
is this for your Bucks?
Not mine, no.
Not even your Bucks?
Not even mine.
Jeff grew up in Melbourne and he describes his child self as borderline precocious.
Had no problem getting up in front of a crowd at Dad's footy club and doing a magic show at the age of 3 or 4 and just, you know, really kind of absurd things. And I was a real handful for Mum and Dad, like, you know, off the planet difficult. But then when I found this way to channel all of that energy that I had into working on these TV shows as an actor, I really settled down and my whole life kind of clicked.
Stop! I'm telling Dad!
Say it! I'm coming to the party at 5 o'clock! Say it!
Say it!
All right, I'll say it!
Jeffrey remembers Round the Twist being omnipresent before and after he was on it.
When I was in grade 5 and grade 6, so 2 or 3 years after we finished shooting it, and in the rainy days you'd sit in at lunchtime and watch Round the Twist, you know. So it was very surreal as a youngster and, you know.
Well, it all started when I was exploring Turtle Island.
And even though Jeff was at a performing arts high school, he was bullied. Matt was too, by the way. And stupidly, he liked to play cricket.
Like, I was destroyed out there. You know, like, if you have a keeper who cottoned on, you know, may God have mercy on your soul.
Jeff worked as an actor from age 7 to 17. And after Bronson, he had two other big roles, lead roles, in two shows, Ocean Girl and The Wayne Manifesto. But I don't care about those shows like I care about Round the Twist.
There's a lo-fi nature, I guess, to Round the Twist and a sort of a smuttiness, a naughtiness. You know, it almost shouldn't have been made for kids. You needed to use your imagination and you needed to sort of go a bit of a journey on it.
Jeff told me the worst part of being a child actor was not being a child actor.
Any actors, you know, no matter how big you are, you're still not the master of your own destiny. There'll always be someone who's getting a role that you wanted.
After only a few encounters with rejection, he decided he could build a career behind the scenes as a director. Recently, he broke through in the States directing Modern Family. And right now, he's working on two films.
I worked on a film late last year called Ali's Wedding and another film at the start of this year called Dance Academy. And we're doing post-production on both of them at the moment.
Dance Academy picks up a couple of years after the TV show ended. The characters are dealing with all the same things child actors have to deal with after a little bit of success.
If I took away the fact that I'd grown up on film sets as an actor, who would I be? And I actually have no idea. So we've tried to explore that with Dance Academy, with the people who are now in their early 20s, not going to be dancers and what's left of them, and the sense that hopefully instilling in its audience that you've got value far and beyond just that one thing.
Oh, wow, that's very symmetrical. But it all started with Bronson.
That short little window of time certainly had an enormous impact. It's an incredibly important passage of time for me, and it's a bizarre and wonderful thing to carry with you for your whole life, I guess.
Rodney here.
Not Rodney. Okay.
What's that about?
I'm just trying to track down a...
You've got the wrong number.
Okay, no problem.
No.
Telstra Hood.
Rodney McLennan lives in Warwick.
Right, yes. Did he used to be an actor?
No.
Hello, Ron McLennan.
Oh, hi, Ron. It's Mike here from the ABC. I've got the wrong phone number.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
I am a Rod McLennan, but I don't know whether you got the right one or not, mate.
You used to be an actor, did you, Rod?
No,
I don't know any Rodney.
I can't understand you.
Hello there, you're called the McLennan.
Pardon, who is it you're looking for?
Not Andrew.
The White Pages didn't prove to be my friend. Too many McLennans, not enough Bronsons. It was a long shot anyway, I guess. Our quest to find out what happened to the original Bronson was over.
Yep, Bronson 3, check. Bronson 2, check. But Bronson 1, no lighthouse.
And then a lead popped up. I was able to track down his dad, and then finally...
Rod McLennan speaking.
Hi, Rod.
Yes.
It's Mike here from...
We got him. Turns out he's in Brisbane, and not too far from Jeff.
Can you put these on and have a listen to something for me? And tell me what you think. Have you ever...
What are you thinking?
Well, quite clearly it's the Round the Twist theme song, which I'm very familiar with. I think of my wife making me keep the videos and the DVDs and showing them to the kids. I'd like to say it brings back memories, but I hear the song so often. It's so common. Every now and then, people reference it all the time. In my entire life, people are always coming up with saying Round the Twist or singing it. I'm Rod McLennan, and I played Bronson Twist in Round the Twist, in Series 1 of Round the Twist, filmed in 1989.
Bronson number 1, the original Bronson.
No matter how hard he might have tried to prevent it, Bronson has followed Rodney his entire life.
Everywhere I go, for some way, reason or another, people find out, usually from friends of friends, or I might start a new job in a different city, and the boss happens to know and will tell everyone, and within 3 days, the entire workplace knows about it. Now, this is just A couple of weeks ago, I was working somewhere as a manager, and I had staff. They were born probably 8 years after it was filmed, who were all excited about the fact that I had this story of being Bronson from Round the Twist. And I'm like, how do you people even, how is this relevant? You're saying that this show was filmed 8 years after you're born, you're in your early 20s, and you think it's fantastic news and you want to speak to me about it.
How does the boss find out? Because it's not on your resume.
No, my wife likes to tell people as a bit of a joke here and there. Every now and then on Facebook, people would like to give me a bit of stick and post up some random funny picture, which I sent you one, a Photoshop of Bronson in the Cabbage Patch Fib holding a Photoshopped my head.
One of your money mates had done that.
Yeah, and it was quite hilarious, particularly my facial expression. I don't know where he got the photo of me from, but it was a very severe, serious, annoyed picture looking the opposite direction whilst being looked at adoringly and lovingly by my younger self. So it was...
Does that kind of sum up your relationship with that time in your life?
Pretty much.
Tracking Rodney down was obviously difficult, and when I finally did, he was a bit nervous about doing the interview. He's a private person. How weird is it now that we're here talking about it?
Exceptionally bizarre, considering that I've avoided talking to anyone about it at on a media level, and I've tried my best to maintain a low profile, and I've done so pretty well.
Very well.
Yeah, very well. I guess part of that would have been from the overall experiences of being a child actor that I decided I didn't want to be in the limelight or the media attention or sort of be in a position where people could look in at me or see what I was doing.
But here we are, and I'm grateful. Rodney tells me he has mixed feelings about his time acting as a child.
Yeah, I struggled. I found it very emotionally challenging. Integrating back into school, I think, was difficult for me. I was never bullied at school.
You weren't bullied?
No, I wasn't bullied.
Afterwards?
No, never bullied.
Wow, that's so interesting because the other two were bullied.
Yeah, I know it's common. I think part of the reason is I wouldn't have copped it. I think the few times that people tried to bully me being older children, I might have headbutted them or done some violence towards them and didn't continue.
Even though he had a tutor on set, he still feels he got behind in school.
I missed fundamentals of maths. So I wasn't good at maths anymore, so I avoided maths, and that just perpetuated into high school, where I was dreadful at maths. Dreadful.
I asked Rodney what happened. Had he had a reaction to being a child actor?
I find that as a child and a young man, I was very much into drama and the arts and acting, and I enjoyed it, got a lot of excitement out of it. And then once I'd moved away from acting, because the work wasn't there anymore, I was no longer a cute kid. I was a adolescent who wasn't cute. So, the role stopped coming because I stopped meeting the preconceived notions of what they're looking for.
Imagine being a kid and trying to wrap your head around that.
That's what I did. That was my identity, was being an actor and being something special, being different to the ordinary. And then when the work wasn't there anymore and I was just back to being a normal kid, well, what do I do now? How do I feed that part of me that wants that attention and wants that to be something different?
Right. So what'd you do?
Left school and lived a fringe element lifestyle. Ran off the rails.
Right. After a few odd jobs, Rod decides he needs to swing back onto the rails. And to do this, he joins the army. He becomes a rifleman.
If you look at it from an emotional perspective, acting requires you to be very much in touch with your emotions. While service in the military, particularly in combat-related roles, for me was the complete opposite.
In 2000, he got sent to East Timor for 6 months.
Whilst the majority of Australia's involvement in East Timor was peace support, peacekeeping operations in the traditional sense, there was short periods where it was very different. There was more action.
Okay. And so we don't have to talk about what happened there, if you don't want to. But when you come back, a common thing for military personnel is things have changed because of experiences that you've had. Did you find yourself in that category?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yep. Very much so. I couldn't get back in touch with that side, and then sort of had no interest in pursuing it either as a hobby or professionally, and don't regret it at all. I can't see it as an industry I'd want to work in. I wanted the stability of a regular type job.
When he got back from East Timor, he left the army.
In the civilian world, he got a gig as a 000 police call taker and dispatcher. That's another part of the reason why he hasn't sought any more attention from his childhood career.
I wouldn't want a position where I would provide information that I wasn't comfortable with becoming public knowledge. Mm-hmm. And knowing that I have the tendency to be quite forthcoming with information, that I'm better off not.
Even when we're talking about something you did as a child.
Yeah,
child
actor, absolutely.
Yeah. Because you've worked in
emergency services. So there's the privacy. And I guess because I was always interested in other careers within the government sector, that there always is an awareness of whatever you say could come up.
Oh, yeah, you are too. And so I blurted it out to my friends, Brett and Jenny, because I thought that was awesome, that my boyfriend was on a DVD. And we sat and watched it. Rod left the room.
For Rod, Bronson was a very long time ago. But there'll always be people in his life, like his wife, Corinne, who will remind him, hey, it's a cool thing to have done.
Most of the fan mail is either from United Kingdom or Japan.
Not everyone has fan mail in storage from around the world.
Looking back as a parent myself, would I want my own children to get into acting? I'd be happy for them to do it as a hobby, but to work full-time as a child, there's a lot of pressure on a kid. I'm glad I had the opportunity and experience. Would I want my kids to go through the same thing? Not necessarily.
I never married either. Did I?
Bronson! Bronson!
Bronson! Bronson!
So there it is. Three Bronsons, three different paths.
We'd like to thank the Australian Children's Television Foundation, who produced Round the Twist and continue to create quality and sometimes really weird shows for kids. A lot of the music from this episode was from Round the Twist, and it's thanks to composer Frank Strangio. And we'd also like to thank you for listening to the first episode of The Real Thing. Now, stickers. We've had these Real Thing stickers done. They're limited edition. And if you want one, it's very easy to get one. All you need to do is leave a comment or a review. Take a screenshot of that and send that to realthing@your.abc.net.au. And as a thank you, we'll get one out to you.
Okay, Anne, if you're there, let me get the fader up. Take it away for us.
I'm Anne Jones from RN's Off Track, which is all about natural history, and this is the end of the first episode of The Real Thing.
I'm Mike Williams.
My name's Timothy Nicastro.
Oh, and hey, wait, just before you switch us off, just a quick little hello to the folks in Aries Inlet. It's
hello.
A little town on the Great Ocean Road in Victoria. It's where the lighthouse that they used in Round the Twist is.
That's right. And just when you're driving along the Great Ocean Road there, just past Aries Inlet, you'll come across something pretty unique.
I'm finding rocks. Rocks and plenty of rocks.
You are just a tourist on this earth.
Rock.
Doing a mountain over here, and I put like
there's thousands of them.
Lots of rocks.
Oh, hundreds. I don't know. Thousands.
And it looks nice on the beach.
We were super astonished.
You should write your name on a rock. You should write your name on a rock with a rock.
In Great Ocean Road.
Holiday! Just saw it from the street and wanted to have a look.
As I was coming down this road, I just saw all these stones all stacked upon each other. And I just thought it was quite a sight.
You know that my name's Ocean.
R-U-A-N.
These little nookshooks everyone made.
Yeah, they look like nookshooks.
And then you would think to make a little stack of rocks like this. They're called the nookshooks.
I would be really interested in how many are just falling down because of tourists who are just like bumping their ass against them also.
Because the Germans always have fat asses, you know, when we are bumping the stones.
We've traveled around the world, we see people put locks on bridges to make a mark, and amongst all the natural features, which is beautiful around here, it's nice to see something where people have felt a need to use what's here.
So we would like to know why There is this little rocks.
I'm not actually sure.
I don't actually know.
Just wasn't sure if it was actually a thing or just by coincidence, everyone's just happened to stack up all the pebbles on the beach.
The ocean, the color, green and the blue.
Serene. Peaceful. Calming.
Rock.